You are now listening to the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast, where the worlds of sports medicine and performance collide. My name is Mike Quintons. I'm a physical therapist with an entrepreneurial mindset that specializes in treating orthopedic and sports injuries. I'm bringing on the brightest and sharpest in the field of sports medicine to share their best practices and explore the gap where medicine meets performance. What's up, Performance Therapy Nation? This is Mike Quintons, your host of the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast. You're about to tune into episode 3 with strength and conditioning coach and athletic trainer, Mario Mascioli. All right, Mario. So let's dive into some common injuries that you see for basketball in particular. Knee pain. I feel like we've all seen jumpers knee, whether strength conditioning or PT or athletic training. So how do you manage it? And where does it typically like stem from, in your opinion?
Yeah, those are good questions. I look at mobility, strength, progression that someone's going through in terms of if they're returning to play or just their current physical conditioning. Have they had a big break where they're in the off season and now they're about to start doing 2-a-days again? Or, you know, are they coming out of a season where they've been doing a lot? So that's what I mean by progression. And then like, obviously rest. So I think I look at above and below. Like, I'm definitely going to look at ankle mobility, because I know that there's research about how that links to stress on tendons and, you know, affects potentially patellar tendinopathy. So I definitely will implement mobility exercises for ankle if I see there's a deficit when it comes to knee pain, and hips as well. I just attack both. I mean, I feel like this is pretty common. Like, obviously strength is, I feel like strength covers a multitude of sins. That's how I feel. If there's weakness, really, I would say more so weakness above, there's weakness just of the hip or the thigh, then it would make sense to me that someone might, that could just plain and simple be it. You know, there's so many times where I've seen it's weakness that has led to pain because their body can't handle the stress and the load being put on that joint. So they get strong. And this is even personally too. I've experienced this personally where I've done more to get stronger and then the pain starts to subside, right? Then on the other side of things, especially with pro athletes or very competitive athletes who are playing year round, sometimes it's just like, I don't care how much strengthening you're doing or other things you're doing to take care of your body. If you don't have a break and you're constantly jumping and you're constantly cutting and you have pain, there's times where that's just it. And that's where it's hard. People don't want to hear that because they don't want to stop. And that's where I think education needs to come in and being able to kind of understand having good just breaks in a season or having good progression to getting back into play, even if you're not injured, just when you're taking a break and then going back. Guys will just be like, all right, I'm going to take a month off and then go right back into 2-a-days plus working out. And then they get pain.
Nailed it. I almost covers it, but you're right. Look above and below. Heck, I'm looking low back too. If I'm looking hip, I'm looking low back. Almost one and the same in my opinion, in terms of assessment. If I'm assessing one, I'm assessing the other. We just work so closely together. So in terms, are you looking for asymmetries in terms of mobility and strength? Are you looking for like thresholds? Are you looking for, you know, exactly what are you looking for when you're looking at mobility or strength? Because obviously, you know, there can be different varying degrees of stiffness and lack of mobility, but are they symmetrical?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm definitely looking at asymmetries. You know, there's different reasons for asymmetry. So if I see an asymmetry, I'm not thinking like, that's it. It depends. But that's definitely something that I will consider, right? If there's an asymmetry and then that seems to link up with the limb that's in pain. And then, definitely with strength, looking for control through the hip and valgus deviations, you know, with different exercises and trying to correct that and see. Sometimes it could just be involved coaching how to do something correctly, and then that solves some problems. And other times it's just there's that you know, it's like, oh, they're deficient, that's why they're moving that way. So as far as rest holds in terms of strength,
anything objective that, you know, I'm not aware of much, but like, is there anything objective that you would look at that you would say, like, hey, you should be able to jump this high off that leg?
Right. Yeah. You know, I will definitely look at jumping off of each leg. I'll do sometimes like a triple hop too, like bounding. Yep. Those are two things I'll look at to compare each side.
Okay. Absolutely. And you're and are you expecting like within 10% difference
of the show? Is that what Yeah, it'd be about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll use that, and it's a good, you know, that's a good recovery tool if someone's somewhat injured as well. Yeah.
Or some strengthening. So like someone has knee pain. What types of strengthening exercises are you utilizing for someone through that initial pain? Say it's from a basketball player or not. Obviously, like they're maybe practicing or they're not. But what type of strengthening exercises are you prescribing them in the gym, in the clinic, in the rehab setting that is going to help strengthen the quad, the tendon, and help diminish any knee pain?
Yeah, I want to get them to do the main lifts that would generally be done to improve strength. So if you're thinking like, so squat, deadlift, lunge, those all build strength in the lower body. I want to do that. Now, if pain's limiting it, that's when you use techniques like I'll use isometrics to help reduce pain in the tendon area and then try out some of those movements to see if they're able to do them so you can build that strength. Or that's when you can use some modalities. The Sixers, we had, I thought, a pretty good protocol where we'd use isometrics like open chain with band in like 30 degrees of knee extension. And then even use like a form of noxious stim or Russian stim over the patellar tendon while doing an eccentric single leg squat, one leg down, two legs up, just to reduce pain and then still allow to do that strengthening in the eccentric motion. So those are things I'd start out with if they're having a lot of pain, and then progress from there with eccentrics and isometric loading, like loading that more until you can do more concentric stuff.
Thoughts on the leg extension for patella pain or knee pain? That's something you would use, stay away from?
I think there is a use for it. I think it's good to use, again, for isometric. You obviously have to be careful if you're doing the concentric motion on the way up. So you can use the opposite leg, or if you're able to pull with your hand, or you have, you know, a therapist or someone working with you, they can just hold it up. But I like using it for that. And then you can use it the same way for eccentric lowering, and you can then use it for the concentric. I think there's nothing wrong with that open chain knee extension. It's just making the decision of if that's going to benefit them now or not. Sometimes they're not ready for the stress of that exercise and you don't do it. So you don't push to get there. Right. But if it seems like, oh no, they can handle this, then yeah, sure.
Right.
And you got to see how they respond too, right?
Right.
The response is everything, right? They may feel great at the time, but we've all seen them come in the next
day. Sure, right, yeah.
Oh boy, you probably did a little too much.
Right, exactly.
You know? Yeah. And Mara, what are your thoughts on the knee coming over the toe for those that are in knee pain?
Yeah, knee over toes guy.
Yeah, what do you...
It's all about the knee over the toe.
Go off.
Yeah, no, I think that if you have a healthy joint and you can do some of that knee over toe movements safely and go through a progression, I think it could actually help with safeguarding the knee. But if you get pain doing that stuff, don't force it. It's not going to magically at one point stop hurting you. You know, I think for those type of exercises where you're really trying to push the knee over the toe, you've got to go based on your past history and how it feels. If someone has several knee injuries in the past or just a jacked up knee, I don't think those things are necessarily going to fix it. That's my philosophy. So I don't actually hate on it. I think it could be helpful, but it totally depends on the person and you shouldn't push through pain.
So that's a great answer. Another scenario is, let's assume that we have a high school, college pro basketball player that obviously jumps a lot, right? Knees are going to probably take a beating throughout the course of the season. And is that a population that you would drive knee over toe, let's say in a split squat lunge, or is that something you're coaching for or against for someone that is just feeling good, but plays a sport where, hey, knee pain might come up? So is that something you're actively trying to drive, is now having the knee come over the toe in a split squat lunge and or a squat? Or is that something you're like, oh no, like let's just keep a vertical shin and load the hip?
I wouldn't say it's something that I'm going for or trying to push. I'd say the only time where I am trying to do that is if it has to do with an ankle mobility exercise to drive dorsiflexion. And then if I could do some drills to strengthen in that increased range, good, but it's probably not going to be an extremely heavy load. If you're just getting that new range of motion, I'd probably be, and this is just personally, I'd probably be just driving more overall strength, vertical shin, especially if it's in season or something right. like, and it's a new, if it's new for them, I don't want to get too fancy or mess with anything or cause that knee pain then.
Love that. Those are all great answers. Are there any asymmetries that you expect to see in, let's say, basketball players, jumping athletes? I'll give you an example for like baseball, for example. I'm expecting the lead hip or even tennis, any rotational sport, that lead leg, that hip is probably going to be a little bit more functionally stiff, as some would say, than the other side. Doesn't mean I'm not taking that into account or I am going to put a ton of weight on that. Do you expect to see any functional asymmetries with basketball players?
Yeah, sure. I mean, shooting hand, shooting arm, there's definitely going to be differences with shoulder range of motion usually that I see. A little bit in like shoulder flexion, sometimes abduction. When it comes to like ankles, I feel like generally they're very similar on each side. I don't see a lot of asymmetry. Hips can be different for everyone.
Sure.
I've seen it kind of be all over the board. If it's someone who really primarily jumps off one leg, then you could see more stiffness on that side. But not like a ton consistently. Could be kind of all over.
All right. So I have three questions that I had a kid I used to coach back in high school. I told him you were coming in. And he's like, all right, I got to know these three things.
Okay, nice. All right.
How do I get my vertical as high as possible? What's the best way to increase your vert? You know, every listener would probably be like, oh, yes, I'm happy you asked.
My answers are probably going to be rather simple. But you got to jump, right? You actually got to work on that. But, you know, before you just do that, strength is a foundation for everything. So if you really don't have a lot of strength training, you haven't done a lot of that, like develop a strong base. That's going to be helpful for then training power. And for power, move weight fast. Do some stuff where, you know, some of it could even be some jumps with weight. But yeah, I would just say like your basic jump, tight movements, squat, deadlift, you know, for bounds and moving that weight fast and explosively as fast as possible, training your velocity. That's what I would do.
All right. Great answer. Number two is speed. How do I work on my speed on the court? And does that carry over from off the court to on the court in terms of like dribbling a ball, right? Mm. Like, so does that matter? Is that even relevant?
That is so relevant for basketball. How fast you can run without a ball and then how fast you can run with a ball. I mean, you have to have skill. You have to have control of that ball or you're not going to go fast.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, the training you do off court is going to be the base of it though. So be working on both. Absolutely work on both. Work on that control with the basketball. But then similar to the jumping answer, I mean, sprinting, working on your sprint mechanics and then sprinting. No, and doing that a lot and doing some resistance training with sprinting.
Love it. Amen. Last one. There's so much basketball being played now between high school and AAU and all the other tournaments and showcases, et cetera. How much time should a player take off? Let's say a high school athlete, maybe even college. I would probably think they're probably relatively similar. How much time should one take off in a given year? Like
yeah.
I think baseball, they say, like 10 months out of the year. If you're throwing more than 10 months out of the year, or you're 10 times more likely to have an injury or Tommy John. So is there any take on basketball there?
Yeah, I actually just had a conversation with a guy who played some pro basketball, I think overseas. He actually was with the Sixers, like in summer league and things like that. And he runs his own business. I agree a lot with what he was talking about, which is if you play in school on a high school team, and then once that season's done, you hop into AAU and then you play AAU all through the spring and the summer, and then again into your high school season, I think that's too much. And the reason is because how are you dedicating time to develop the other parts of your game, your strength, your power, and then your skill? And I think that a good, again, just personal opinion, I think a good way to get relative rest to have your body recover, but then also make advancements in just your game and your performance is when you're done the season, that spring season, that should be like you working on yourself. Like, get in the gym, get stronger, right? And then get with someone, whoever's your skill coach is, and work on your individual skill, because you can't really do that when you're on a team. You're doing drills, you're doing team plays. Like, you can't really develop your game, right? And then also, you're just doing so much playing and practicing. Any type of training you do is going to be affected by that. And so I think people are worried about falling behind. I think people who took that model would make big jumps in the spring and summer going into their high school year. And you have a season of AAU, a season of high school, and a season of like yourself and working on your game and your strength and your performance.
I like that. What do you think? What's your thoughts on that, Rob?
I agree. I mean, most athletes need to take time away from actually playing the sport and work on all their stuff. And you got to work on your skill, and you got to work on your general physical preparation, which is strength and conditioning. So yeah, I 100% agree. It's a great answer.
I think that's such a great take on like, do something different, but you're still working on your craft, right? Like, usually it's like, no, just stop. Don't throw a ball for the next 2 months. And that's not a bad idea.
You don't
idea,
have to stop.
Right? But you don't have to stop. You're doing different things to master a skill or a craft. I'd like that take. You know, I think that's a good way to sell it too.
Just have to find good strength coaches and good skill coaches.
No, you do. You do. And yeah, again, I would just say, I think AAU teams, this is the new AAU, is that's how they should model it. They need to bring in a strength coach, and they need to have that as part of their model, where it's like, hey, you're on our team. This is what we do in this season for at least a month or two. We develop you. Then we go into this season of AAU where you get showcased. Instead of like, we got to play, we got to keep playing, we got to keep playing. I know it's hard to change that, and there'd be a bunch of coaches and stuff that would say, hey, this is why that wouldn't work. But if I ever had an AAU team, like, I would center it around all around development, not so much about how many games are being played or how much money is being made or whatever.
Listen, you couldn't have said it any better than that. That's a good way to, that's a mic drop. That's a wrap. Actually, one last thing. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Email, website? What's a website?
Yeah, so if people want to check out a little bit more of what I am or schedule a free call, virtual assessment with me, they can go to www.mariomass.com, or my email is info@mariomass.com, and they can reach out to me that way. I do have an Instagram, that Mass Movement 21, which recently I have not been partaking a part of a lot, but I will resume.
You should resume.
Yeah, I will resume. And that's a good way to reach out to me as well.
Big TikTok guy over here with Rob.
Yeah.
Any TikTok handles or LinkedIn or anything else you want to throw out there?
No, that's it for Instagram's the main way that I'll communicate with people on social media right now.
Awesome. So check the show notes for those specific, for the website, the email, and contact information. So Mario, this was awesome, man. Awesome. Rob, awesome. Appreciate it, man. This was great.
This was fun. This was my first podcast ever. I need to do more of these. So I appreciate you bringing me on.
You killed it, man. Did great. Thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for listening to the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast. If you'd like this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It would mean so much to me if you could leave us a 5-star review so more listeners like you could get this important information. See you next time.